You'll pray with me. God, we come together on this morning. We're reminded of so much that is happening around us in this world. And we realize that in this world that we are currently living in, we need more faith. More faith in your great love. And so, God, as we open up the scriptures, show us what that looks like. Guide us as we come and listen to your word of hope and love to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. As I shared, I was spending the last 2 weeks in Berwick, away from technology, away from everything, and as you probably heard on the news, while we were at Berwick, the entire Atlantic province's lost network, this Bell network, went down for 3 hours, so everyone's wondering, what is going on? What's happening in Toronto? Or what's happening anywhere? Nobody knew. And so I kind of like that feeling. I kind of enjoyed not knowing what was going around the world. If you were here a year ago, I kind of lamented on something I will lament on today, which is that for the summer preaching, the summer bulletin comes out on the last week of June. So we have to submit everything to Allison by the third week of June. Now, who knew that all these crazy things will happen in the world, especially in the world that I just get back from study leave? Maybe this is God's call to me, to have a little faith. I kind of felt alone. I kind of felt like, God, are you really doing this on the first week back? Did you really have to have all these things go bad in the world? I felt alone. And I think the disciples in the text kind of felt alone too. They're flexing their muscles in this rowing, and they're rowing this boat out to sea. They look around to find that Jesus is indeed not there. The disciples are alone. Where was Jesus? What was Jesus up to? The disciples feel alone. They can still hear Jesus' words, "Go on ahead to the other side and I'll catch up with you later." Now, did Jesus really know what he was talking about? How was he going to get to the other side if he's not on the boat? Disciples feel alone. They continue to row. They can't help but think about what happened earlier in the day. The endless supply of bread and fish and feeding the multitude of people. But this was no ordinary miracle. They had not only seen it, but they had actually gone and done it. They had done the miracle. It wasn't like Jesus going and saying, "Touching and you were healed." They were actually passing out bread from this small loaf, and they were feeding 5,000 people. But now, they're just reminiscing of the great feeling from earlier in the day. They're quick to realize that it's different now. That was during the day. This is during the night. It was just the 12 of them. They're ordinary selves. They're just rowing this boat. They feel alone. One of the disciples turned back to see how far they had come from the shore, only to realize that they cannot see anything except the fading light and the horizon. Evening had come. The light had started to dim. The waves have started to pick up. Many of these disciples, remember, are fishermen by trade. They had experience being in a boat at night with the waves tipping the boat left and right. However, tonight, something felt different. The winds are blowing against them and the waves are picking up. This must be a storm. And it wasn't not that long ago that they had experienced something similar to this. But at least Jesus was sleeping in the belly of the boat. He wasn't outside the boat. They're quick to remember that they are indeed alone. Let's take a short break. says one of the disciples. The disciples pull their oars from the water and start to join in the rhythm of the waves bobbing back and forth. It almost felt like they were the ones. They were being one with the surrounding. And out in the distance, they can see the flickering light of some of the houses on the shore. But in between the flickering of light, the disciples see something moving. In fact, it is something moving towards them. It's kind of like a horror movie if you think about it. It's dark, lights flickering, and something slowly coming towards you. Who could it be? What could it be? Was Jesus rowing the boat towards them? After all, he said he was going to come to us. However, it wasn't a person in a boat, but as it was read, it was a person walking on water. It's a ghost, they cried out in fear. That ghost must have been listening because the response they heard from this ghost, listen, is take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Now, wouldn't you be freaked out if a ghost said, don't freak out, it's me. Take heart. Take heart. They listen to the voice carefully, and they're reminded that this is a voice that they know. This is the voice of Jesus. Peter was always the one with a quick mouth as he quickly shouted out, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Who knows what Peter was thinking? What if their ghost-like teacher did tell Peter to come? Just as quick as Peter's response was, the very words were, come. And with those words, Peter stood off the edge of the boat. And I'm not sure how Peter did it. I don't know. He put one foot in the water. With his eyes fixed on his teacher, he takes another step. And now he's on the water. It was one small step for man, but it was a giant step for mankind 2,000 years ago. Peter's walking on water. Peter is walking on H2O. Peter had made that great leap of faith. And now Peter can't help but look around him as he walked on the water, only to realize that he can see the reflection of the moon on the water, and he's just like that. That's right. It's windy. It's a storm. That giant step for mankind seemed to end in futileness as he was no longer using his 2 feet to stay on the water, but he is using anything and everything that he can. Peter is drowning. His giant step of faith had succumbed to nothing greater than little faith. The temptation of the wind and the waves had made him a man of little faith. O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. We have heard this so many times. In fact, we may have heard of a take of this story from a preacher while we were growing up, or even from Sunday school. In fact, Jesus does actually say, you of little faith, why did you doubt? We may have heard the story, something similar to this. Peter had the right idea getting out of the boat and quite literally stepping out in faith. Yes, it's true. In our lives, we too can see Jesus standing out over the stormy waters of the world, bidding us to come to him. And like Peter, we too must heed this invitation, finding courage of faith needed to swing our legs out over the boat side and then step out onto the waters. If we do, then we too will walk on water with Jesus, trusting him alone to help us do great things for God. We may have doubted, we may have feared, and even feel alone, but don't pay attention to the winds that howl or the waves that lap against you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, as you can find the strength and courage to keep walking towards him. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Unlike Peter, who started to drown, you can do one better. You can have even more faith. So if you are facing a big decision, if you sense that God is calling you to go to seminary, or God is telling you to go to the mission field, or if you're wondering how you can witness to your coworker, then you need to have the guts to step off the boat, have more faith, and try to walk on the water. This is where you have to say amen.
Amen.
But you see, this is not really what this parable is about. If we could have more faith, if we could do something where we could have more faith, wouldn't we have already done it? The thing is, it's not really a matter of more faith. I think the key in this passage for me is I was trying to wrestle last night. I'll just be honest, I didn't get much sleep because I was on Facebook the last 2 days, and boy, was I glad I wasn't living in America, because I'm really fearful of what all my American colleagues are trying to preach on today. But what good is it when we say, you know, if you have more faith, God will take care of it. If you have more faith to step out of the boat, He'll be okay. See, that just isn't good news for me. And I'm going to keep you here a little longer than usual because for me, that's not the image of Jesus Christ that I have. But the one thing that I was really struck about this passage is this, is the first verse that we read today. Stephanie read for us, and I'm going to read from the NRSV. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat. I'm going to read that to you again. If you're English teachers, try to understand the syntax of this. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat. It's not like, hey guys, why don't you go before me? It's like, get in here and go. Now, why would Jesus do that? Now, there are a lot of scholars that are thinking, Jesus was human too, so he needed a time to wept. He needed a time to weep. If we just read a couple more verses before, we see that at the start of chapter 14, John the Baptist is beheaded. And so Jesus' cousin is dead. So Jesus maybe needs a time to weep, to grieve, to mourn. So he wants the disciples to go, and he goes up into the mountain and to pray and to weep and to say, God, why? Why did you have to kill my cousin? Now, there's some people, some scholars that argue that. But for me, I find it really, really interesting. Why does Jesus send those disciples in the boat forcefully, knowing full well that if they go, they're going to get into a storm, and they're going to be afraid? It almost seems like Jesus is purposely sending chaos to the disciples. The fact is this: chaos, trouble, storms, waves, darkness, anything you can think of, hatred, racism. We're on a boat, and we are sailing on all these issues. The fact is that having more faith doesn't mean that these all go away. We live in the midst of all these even unimaginable bad news that are taking place all around us. It's almost scary. Then what is the good news? If the good news is not that we have to rely on Jesus and ask for more faith, what is the good news? I think the good news is really simple. Let's look at Peter for a second here. Verse 28, Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus says, "Come." So Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking on water. As we are on troubled waters, as we are in the storms of our very own lives, as we are in the dark clouds of everything, hatred that is going on, just like Jesus was walking through that glimmer of light that the disciples could see from the boat of the town, as we live our daily lives, if we look around all this darkness, if we look around all this hatred that is going on, you can see small glimmers of hope. Now in Virginia, as these activists were gathering together, they said about 1,000 people gathered. There were a bunch of clergymen, pastors, religious leaders, not only Christian, but even non-Christian leaders. They came together. They were arm in arms to show that we are united. You call us to be separated. You call us that we have to be segregated, but we are united. We are not united just simply in a tweet from the President of the United States, but we are united to call out injustice in the world. Small, small glimmer of hope. It is, because if you see the Facebook image, and please go home and please Google it, they're arm in arm like this, and just on the other side, you see all these people dressed in military clothes with automatic rifles. I mean, it's hard to imagine this in Canada. It's even hard for me to fathom. Small glimmers of hope. In the world where we see people are being, you know, fled out of their houses, they've all become refugees. We see small glimmers of hope. You know that we have hosted a family. We see many families that are hosted by many communities in Canada, welcoming their arms. Just a few days ago, I was reading the news on the Star of how many asylum seekers are crossing the border, not through a regular point of crossing, but just through the forest to get into Canada, because they see glimmers of hope. And when Peter sees that glimmer of hope, and that hope says, "Will you come to me?" All Peter said was, "Yes, I will." Now you have to remember, Peter's a fisherman. Like, he's good with water. You know, he knows water. Like, he lives on water. He knows that people don't float on water. At least you can't walk on water. But for some crazy reason, or stupid reason, when a call was made, "Will you come out?" "Come." Peter chooses to say yes and step out. And the crazy thing is this, isn't it? Jesus says, that was small faith. What Peter did in stepping out, that was a step in small faith. Small faith. So many times, I grew up in a household where my parents said, "Moses, if you had more faith, etc., 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 right? If you had more faith, you'd get up earlier to go to church. If you had more faith." Brothers and sisters, for me, I call out all of us, "You of little faith." Because it's that little faith that moves mountains. It's that little faith that makes Peter go out and spread the gospel. We sometimes think that God calls us to have this humongous faith, that if we had more faith, that we could actually walk on water. If we had more more faith and we could go out and preach the gospel. If we had more faith and we can fill the pews of Kingsway Church. But the thing is, that's not really what God calls us to. God calls us to simply say yes when that small call comes in. Maybe that's a small step of faith. And who knows how big small is for you. Maybe for some of you, it's a few centimeters. Maybe for some of you, it's a feet. Maybe for some of you, it's huge. But it's those small steps of faith that come together to make messages of hope and love. I'm going to show you a video of a person with a little faith. Little faith. I wish that we as a community can be a community that has a little faith. Jesus never asked for huge faith. He said if you had a faith of a mustard seed, you could move the mountains. Just a little faith. Just a little faith. Just stepping out. Let us pray. God, we live in a world where the world of capitalism drives us to say more and more and more, bigger, 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 faster, faster, faster. But we look at Peter here. We look at Peter saying yes, taking that small step of faith. God, allow us to also be a community that can have a little faith. Have a little faith to go forward, to go outwards, to step out and say, this is the message of love. I love you. In this time when hatred seems to fill everything, I love you. Because God loves you. Continue to empower us to be a community of faith. We ask of this in Jesus' name. Amen.